Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unscripted Unlimited, our second show here on the Everything Unscripted Network. I'm your gracious, humble, and sexy host, Daniel Homer. I'm here with a good friend of mine, Eric.
What's up?
What's up? And we decided to let Doug come on.
Aw. Happy to be here.
Good. We got a lot to get into, but first, make sure to visit the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday and Friday after AEW and SmackDown. And make sure to listen to us every 6:30 on Friday for Unscripted Wrestling. Every Saturday, whenever we do this show, probably 7 or 8 usually. And then Sundays at 3 p.m. for Scaredy Cat. We will also be in Merchantville for September 18th, the toy convention. So we got a lot going on.
Yes, we do. We're still working on getting some stuff that we're going to be selling at this toy fair because we don't want to, you know, not be able to sell too much stuff and then have to sell our bodies, because that's actually something that they don't want us to do.
Yeah, you might get a refund.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it, boys. We got a lot to talk about. The first thing I think we'll talk about, Eric wants to start doing a fighter spotlight. Either a fighter or an NFL player. This week, we're going to be talking about the great Conor McGregor. Been going through a kind of a twilight of his career recently, but he's known as one of the greatest featherweights of all time, and pound for pound, one of the greatest, too. Doug, what's your thought on Conor?
I think before I started watching UFC, I used to think that this guy was nothing but an asshole.
Yeah.
But then seeing, like, some of his stuff, and knowing that he actually can, for the most part, back up the trash talk, but unfortunately, like, he does not know when to shut up.
No.
However, you know, he probably is, like, one of the, you know, best featherweights out there. I mean, right now he's recouping from a broken ankle. Hopefully he'll be back soon. And then we can get another fight between him and Dustin Poirier. Either that or Poirier's wife takes the fight.
Yeah, I mean, and we will talk about McGregor's comments at the end about Khabib, because that was kind of the last straw for me. But he's known for his wars with Nate Diaz, which, if you haven't seen those fights, check those out. Some other great Conor fights is the Jose Aldo fight, Eddie Alvarez, the first Dustin Poirier fight where he knocked his ass out. He's probably one of the greatest draws in UFC history, because he took the cool heel element from WWE, and he was the best trash talker, and he's good at starting shit. You know, he fought McGregor, for God's sakes, in a boxing match. Not McGregor, fucking Mayweather.
He fought Mayweather.
And that was before Logan Paul was fighting Mayweather. So, and that was almost unheard of when it happened for a UFC guy to just box a boxer. So he's been a trendsetter, a trailblazer. He can be a bit of a dick, but he was a double champion at some point. His credentials speak for themselves. Eric, what do you think?
He changed it for what it is right now, because this is a new decade of UFC, and he changed it. He was a trendsetter for big money fights instead of fighters that should deserve it. There's more of the big money fights. It's kind of he set that big money fight.
You're exactly correct.
And his beef with Khabib was one of the biggest too.
Yeah, no, you're exactly correct. And what I think is underrated too is he made that for the little guys, because the little guys used to never be the big money fights. You would go out to see Shamrock or, you know, some big guy. I mean, maybe welterweights like George St. Pierre or something. But usually, a lot of like featherweights and stuff, you wouldn't see them in the main events of the cards. And even sometimes now you don't see a lot of the little guys, you know, headlining. But he kind of made that to where they were a bigger deal than even the heavyweights, which for a long time ran the UFC.
Yes, and he brought more of the European fans too, especially the Irish.
Yeah.
whenever he fights, they come to Vegas.
Well, because Vegas is a big UFC town.
Yeah, but even when they did that fight in Ireland, they sold out and it was huge and the fans would not stop cheering his name. He's one of the biggest stars in Ireland right now.
Oh, yeah. He probably is the biggest up there, or him and Becky Lynch.
Yeah, well, you got to remember, I mean, Connor, you know, they represent like two different sports. Well, and one of them is not even a sport. You call it a sport in front of the guy that owns it, and he fucking, you know, sues you for $500,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
No, but I think what he did is kind of unparalleled, that he's taken some losses lately. Poirier has his number, but he is known for being one of the greatest for a reason.
Yeah, and according to him, he has Poirier's wife's number.
Yeah, and it's not Poirier, for God's sake.
Well, what the hell is it?
Poirier.
Poirier?
Yeah. I don't know how much porn he watches, but it's not enough to get put in his last name.
That's another story.
But, yeah, this guy has done so much. He's paved the way for trash talking because the big money fights are based off his mouth. And he can talk anybody into a building. He's the opposite of – I don't know if you follow ONE Championship, Eric, and if you know what they're about, the Japanese fighting promotion.
Yeah, I know about it, yeah.
It's like the New Japan of fighting, basically. And
They're
one of the bigger companies.
It comes on after AEW sometimes.
Yeah, and they're based off pride, respect, and it's like the old traditional way of mixed martial arts. That's not what McGregor stands for.
No.
He stands for talking shit, saying he's going to fuck your wife, and then you got to go in there and try to kick his ass.
Right. Or just hope that he steps the wrong way and breaks something.
Yeah. He's one of the better trash talkers, and I think he does have his spot in the Hall of Fame. But I do think he's winding down, and it's about time to call it.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a couple of fights in him. He's probably got another, you know, year or two or maybe three.
Yeah, he could do another Diaz fight maybe or something, but he can't take that spot for the belt. Like, if Poirier wins the belt, it's almost unfair if he gets the shot. For all the guys that have been working their asses off.
Exactly.
But with that, well,
I meant about, like, more money fights. There's more money fights instead of people deserving it. Dana, true, just the money fight instead of the person that should get it sometimes.
Very true. Do you have anything else you want to say on Conor McGregor, Eric?
No, and I'll admit that he is one of the greatest of all time, even though I can't stand the guy sometimes.
That's very big of you.
All right. With that, we'll transition into UFC Fight Night. Sanhagen and Dillashaw, this was 2 weeks ago, or last week, right?
Last Saturday night, yeah.
Last week.
Me and Doug watched this full card, just like we watched the full card yesterday. And hell of a card, huh, Doug? The last two have been really
good. This should have been – this probably could have been a pay-per-view.
Yeah, even though there wasn't huge names on it.
Yeah. I mean, each fight was awesome. I know there was a lot of controversy in the women's fight. Well, if you ask DC.
Yeah, the judging.
Yeah. Which, you know, I happen to like the girl that won. I mean, well, no, they were both good fighters, but.
Yeah. Well, Macy Barber.
I have to watch that one.
Macy Barber, we'll get to that after. Because let's talk about Yanez and Randy Costa first, because these two little guys came out of the bat flying at each other.
Yeah, they beat the shit out of each other.
And Yanez got the victory round two with the TKO. But
Randy Costa won round one.
Yeah, he was controlling the fight.
He was controlling the fight, and then Yanez just kind of came back, clocked him, and then that was it.
Yeah.
It was funny. Last week, like, the people that controlled round one in each one of the fights almost did not win. Like, it was...
That's true.
Like, there was, it was almost within every fight, it's like, okay, well, these guys, you know, this person, obviously they won round one, so they just got to keep going, and then they get knocked on their ass.
Yeah. But I thought it was a harder fight for Giannis.
Yeah. I mean, I picked him to win.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it was a good fight.
Absolutely. Miranda Maverick and Macy Barber. A lot of people think Maverick won this fight.
Macy Barber was finally asked about it, and I thought it was funny what she said, because she said she was very confident about winning, and they asked why, and she said, because my hand got raised, and I got two checks at the end of the night. And I think that kind of plays on top of the head. If you, I understand what they're saying, and I understand Miranda Maverick probably won that fight, but what's Macy Barber going to do? They gave her the W. You might as well take it and keep moving on.
You're not going to hand him back the check and be like, no, I'll take the loser's purse?
Yeah. You're not going to say, no, I won the fight. Let's do it again. Because it's bullshit, you know? Like, you got the win. You get to move up in the rankings and you call it a day.
Right. And I'm pretty sure she's exactly. going to be, you know, she might be ranked at some point.
I'm not sure.
I mean, I think they're unranked right now, but.
But Miranda Maverick, she did good, but she'll be back.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing, is that, like, we're not saying Macy Barber is going to be, like, a top contender at somebody, because they're both still young.
Yeah.
Actually, they're both younger than you.
Yeah.
Actually, I think one of them is actually older than you by, like, maybe a couple months.
Yeah, a month or two.
But
they're two badass women that I think have good futures in MMA.
Yeah. Miranda Maverick actually kind of looks like a young Ronda Rousey.
She does. And they're both little chicks at flyweight, and I think they're going to be two forces to be reckoned with in the future.
I think so, too.
Now, Darren Elkins and Derek Metter, this was a second-round stoppage by TKO as well. And this was another one where Metter was running the first round, and then Elkins came in and kind of took the W.
That was the, you know, that was the trend. That was, you know, it was the trend of the night.
So I thought that one was entertaining, and I think both guys fought their heart out, but obviously there was a winner and there was a loser.
Yeah. I mean, like, you can always say, and I've heard people say this a lot, you know, both guys are, like, if it's a team sport, both teams deserve to win. It's like, not yes and no, because, like, if both teams deserve to win, then, or both guys deserve to win, then one of them wouldn't have lost.
Yeah.
And plus, like, in this fight, because it was second round stoppage, if Derek Minner deserved to win, he would not have gotten knocked out.
True. Obviously, one guy wanted it more.
Yeah.
Now, moving on to the one that you saw, Eric, because you saw the co-main, right?
The co-main and the main.
So this was another one that got weird judging, and people weren't really sure. Kyler Phillips, a lot of people thought he won that fight. Do you think that Pava guy took the W? It was an interesting, good fight.
It was. The first round, Phillips dominated, and he got tired, and he got dominated in the second round. I thought he took the fifth. I mean, the third. Sorry. I thought he won the fight, but I guess the judges thought otherwise.
Doug, what did you think?
I thought it was a good fight, and I actually thought Kyler Phillips was going to walk away from this thing, but Pava, you know, he came through in that third round. He obviously did enough for the referees to be like, or for the judges to be like, okay, yeah, you won this thing.
Yeah. That's the way they scored it.
Yeah.
Now, the main event was fucking nuts. It was your boy, one of your favorite fighters of all time, Eric, even though... Doug.
Dominic Cruz is better.
But TJ Dillashaw made the return off the juice, and he got the W over Corey Sandhagen. I was one of the guys that said Sandhagen won the fight based off damage. I know you can't base these things off damage. It's about more strikes hit and stuff like that and more takedowns. What did you think of this main event there?
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was a very close fight. You can make an argument for either side or even a draw. A lot of people said it could be a draw. TJ probably did a little more in the fifth to grab the win, because I think it was probably 2-2 going to the fifth. Either way, it was a great fight. Probably contender for fight of the year. I would like to see them get go at it again.
Oh, they will.
Yeah,
this isn't over.
Especially when one of them tries to get a belt, I think the other one will be back. Well, what were your thoughts, Doug?
I thought it was a really good fight. I thought Sanhagen didn't finish it.
Yeah.
Like, he could have finished it in the earlier round had he connected with either the knee or the back fist. But the problem is that Dillashaw could see them coming.
Yeah.
Still. Even though one eye was, you know, almost swollen shut, he could still see out of the good eye.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Sanhagen, in my opinion, got lazy.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things...
And DC brought this up, and my boy DC, I agree with him. I felt like when Corey was controlling the fight most is when he was just hitting the jabs, kind of walking away. Dillashaw kept the pressure going. But Sanhagen, I think when he tried the crazy shit, like the flying knees and stuff, that's when he would kind of fuck up his game.
Yeah.
And then Dillashaw could kind of capitalize and go for a takedown or something. It's when he was going to the basics, hitting the jabs, hitting the old 1-2, he was really beating the shit out of him. But then he would go for something crazy or try to do like a highlight reel move, and Dillashaw would scout it out and take him down or something. And I think that's genuinely what lost him the fight.
I think so, too.
Yes.
And again, if he would have, I mean, he knew he had him on the ropes with the bad eye and all that.
Yeah.
If he would have kept keep the pressure on and just keep pounding him, yeah, he would have won. Don't go for the flashy shit.
Yeah, I agree.
You can't do that against TJ. He's too much of a veteran.
No, yeah, he was ready for it. We're not ranking each fight, but to rank the card as a whole, I thought this was really solid. And like you said, it could have been a pay-per-view. I know you can't because you didn't see the whole thing yet, Eric, but I give this an 8, Doug.
I'm going to give it an 8, too. And, yeah, it would have been, like, this would have been a hell of a paper. I mean, I'm glad I didn't have to pay the $70 for it. Or, I mean, you and I usually split, so.
Yeah.
Well, 35 or whatever. I'm just glad this show or this event didn't cost me money.
But it's cool. It's a free thing on ESPN Plus. It makes that worth it. You've been getting a lot of good fighting content on ESPN Plus.
Made
that purchase worth it, so.
Oh, yeah. It definitely made it worth it. I mean, and in my opinion, you know, UFC is probably the best thing on ESPN Plus right now. The only real sport on ESPN Plus. Better than that that other sport where all you do is just hit a ball with a bat.
Hey.
Hockey's on there, too.
Well, I mean, the hockey season's over with right now.
Yeah. They do college football.
Soccer. On there.
I think college footballs too. Some sort of football. Not NFL though. But yeah, this was a good card. Let's move on to the toy spotlight, Doug. What do you got?
Okay, so the toy spotlight I have, and of course, you know, I'm a dumbass. I didn't bring it down here.
It's okay.
The Tom and Jerry board game.
Ooh.
It was released in the I believe it was released in the 80s, 70s or 80s. And it's a very it's a kid's board game. It's for like ages like four to 10 or something like that.
Right.
So it's a very basic board game. Anybody could play it, so we'd be fine.
Even us.
Yeah. And basically what it just is that like all the players play as Jerry, as the mouse, and they're trying to get to the refrigerator to get the cheese out. And then they have to, as soon as they get the cheese, they got to go back to the mouse hole. And then, like, every, like, number they roll, because they can only, or they roll, you know, Tom rolls the same amount. And then there's, like, spaces where, like, they get stuck or whatever. And then, like they have to get to the, because there's, like, different, like, paths you can take.
Right.
And you have to get to the refrigerator before Tom does. and you have to hope that he doesn't catch you, which is very easy for him not to get. Like, it's a very easy basic. Well, like, I'm sure, like, the little tykes might have a problem with it, but if you're over the age of, like, 15, 16 playing this thing, there's no reason why you can't, like, end the game in, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah. It's a nice, fun, quick play.
Yeah. Good stuff. Very good stuff.
Yeah. We'll have to play that with Eric here next week.
Absolutely.
I was going to say that.
Yeah. I'd be down for that.
All right, boys. We got a few games for you to play next week when you're here.
Awesome. Can't wait.
Can't wait to watch some of the fights, too.
I know. That's going to be fun.
Speaking of that, last night, you saw the whole thing, right, Eric?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry.
I mean, the whole main card, yeah. I think I saw some of the prelims.
I apologize to the prelim and prelim fighters. I know you guys are working your asses off. We don't have that many hours a day. We work very hard as well. We only have time to do the main cards.
Yeah.
But we do respect every fighter that's on there and good for the guys coming up the ranks, but I'm only reviewing main cards on this show.
speaking of next week, Amanda Nunes is off the card. And I want to wish her a speedy recovery.
Yeah, Amanda Nunes, COVID, I hope she is okay.
Yeah, she wasn't replaced. There were supposed to be six fights on that show next week, right? And they just had knocked down to five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They might put something else on, but they have the interim heavyweight title fight still, so.
Yeah, so you're still going to be able to sell the fights.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like we were saying yesterday, you don't want to give that other girl somebody else with the risk of her losing because she's earned this title shot.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you can't script UFC.
Yeah, and COVID's not like an injury that's going to last 6 months. So Nunes rests up. You get her, like you said, maybe 268 or 267.
I would say, well, because this is 265 now, and, it, you know, it's a new number every month.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say 267, 268. Put her as on the same fight that, what, Diaz and Lawler?
It'd be hard to do that because you got three big fights already.
On that one?
Yeah, because I think Shvenko is defended her title, and I know there's a featherweight title being defended.
Okay.
So we might already have two title fights.
And speaking of 268, that's Covington and Usma too.
Yeah, so that could be a good co-main for that.
Yep, it's going to be I can't wait for that fight. Can't wait for Usma to beat Covington again and shut him up.
Oh, we're all hoping for
As long as also, and then I want Usman to jump the cage and beat the shit out of Dan Lambert.
You want him to Khabib him?
Yeah, what a waste of skin that asshole is.
All right.
As much as I dislike Connor, Covington's more annoying.
Yes. Covington's an absolute dick.
Yeah, he did some stuff, you know, a part of American Top Team, because that's who Lashley trained with.
Yeah, he just left there, but.
Yeah. Well, that's who Covington just left American Top Team?
Yeah, like last year.
Oh, okay, so Lambert's going to be nowhere.
Nope, he's not with him anymore.
All right, well, I still want Lambert in the crowd, and I still want somebody to beat the shit out of him. but yeah, like, Covington, when he was involved, when he kind of did this stuff with Impact, and, you know, he would choke out referees or whatever, and then that's when Lambert started, like, kind of talking trash about pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Then he showed up on AEW.
Yeah, he showed up on AEW. He had Nunes with him, and Amanda Nunes just kind of like, when Lambert was getting his ass beat, she kind of just sat there and smiled.
Really?
Yeah.
Good, that's funny.
So...
All right, let's get into last night.
Okay.
We started it off with a hell of a fight that went the distance. Jason Witt and Brian Barberina.
Yeah.
Give us thoughts, Doug.
I really liked this fight. It went the distance, but, like, there were points where you had no idea how, you know, if it was going to go the distance or not, because these two were beating the shit out of each other. I mean, you knew Whit was going to win, like, the majority of the fight. But Barbarina started to come on in that third round because he knew that it's like, okay, this guy won the first two rounds. I got to finish him, like, now.
Yeah.
And he almost did.
Yeah, he had that heavy right. He almost took Jason Whit out of the fight. There was a couple times he looked knocked out, but he kept going for that takedown. He stayed persistent. And with staying true enough in the third round and those two rounds of dominance, it was enough to win him the fight.
Yeah.
What do you think, Eric?
I thought it was a great fight. I even texted Doug saying what hell of a fight.
Yeah.
It was. It was probably fight of the night in my book.
It was a hell of a one. I'll give it that. I'd say this was a really good fight.
It was. I mean, it was definitely, and this is why, like, you know, a lot of these guys that we see on these fight nights are obviously, they're going to be pay-per-view headliners someday.
Yeah, a lot of them are ranked.
Well, I mean, they're unranked right now. Or they're not in, like, top 15 anyway.
Not all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of them are. Our two main event was.
Yeah. But Jason Whit, he's a contender. And even Barbarina. Barbarina can come back and.
Yeah. He did well, and he's got that knockout ability.
Yeah.
But that was a good one.
And Jason Whit got lucky.
He did. But he won the fight with brilliance. Now, talk about knockout ability. I'm sorry, young man. I'm going to fuck up your name. But Melasic Bagastarian. Holy shit, the kid, out of his four of his last fights, he knocked people out within 32, 42 seconds, something like that. It was his first fight in the UFC. Colin Anglin was no different. What'd you think of this one, Eric?
I thought this was a good fight. This ended in a knockout, right?
Yeah, you fucked him up.
Yeah.
It was a knockout.
Yeah,
It was a
fast
knockout.
Go ahead,
Eric.
I'm sorry. It was a fast knockout, right? I forgot.
Well, I mean, he wasn't able. He couldn't finish him in the first round like he usually does.
But it was early in the second.
It was early in the second, though.
Early in the second, yeah.
Yeah, and like this, Colin Anglin, like, it, to me, like, I was kind of happy to see him get knocked out because he kind of looked like, who did I say last night? He looked like Miz and somebody's love child or something.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the other person said, but, this Bagadarian or Bagalavita or whatever the hell his name is, He's a hell of a fighter. And, like, the fact that, yeah, he was disappointed that it didn't end in round one, but.
Yeah, he was like, it was okay. No, it was a little more than okay, young man. You did pretty well for yourself.
You won.
Exactly. Now, in the next fight, Stolze got knocked out round one, 1:08. Jared Gooding got a good shot at him. Wasn't the most technical punch, but he knocked him out. What'd you think?
Jared Gooding, he's another one that is going to be, like, one to be reckoned with in the welterweight division.
Yeah, and that's a congested welterweight division with a lot of big names in it.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that, like, you got a lot of talented fighters in there. So that's probably – and the champion is who?
Welterweight?
Yeah.
Oliveira.
Okay.
He's probably, it's going to be Poirier and Oliveira next.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because that's the, welterweight's the division that Connor's in, right?
No, I'm fucking that up. That's like, welterweight champion's Kamaru Usman. I am so sorry for that.
Yeah.
That's my boy Usman. That's his fight in Covington next.
All right, well.
I got it mixed up with lightweight.
Usman. Is going, you know, Usman's got a long line of guys.
Yeah. He just knocked out Masvidal. He's got Covington again, who he's already fought. But there's so many big names. That Gilbert Burns that we just saw that beat Wonderboy. There's so many other names in that division. Let me pull up the top 10.
I mean, yeah, because that's going to be – that's a very talented division. And, like, You could actually do a whole card.
A welterweight?
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, you got Leon Edwards, who just beat Nate Diaz. Diaz is coming back. Robbie Lawler's still around. You got Jingalang, who's still doing well at number 11. Masvidal just got knocked out, but he's still at number 5.
Right, and you got that Michael Chiesa.
Yep, Nate Diaz is still number 10. Damian Maya, the grizzled veteran, still around. We got a lot of big guys still, and this is a congested division.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some of the guys that are on, that were on the show, like, you know, that that Jason Witt, you know, he's going to do it, and that Jared Gooden, you know, they're going to climb their way up.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. We got a lot of big names. I mean, even like Robbie Lawler's 19, for God's sakes, and he's one of the better fighters. Kasmatet Chimev, he's really good. He's number 20. This is a congested division. So Usman's got a lot of talent to keep fighting, and hopefully he can get past Covington. But
like I said, like, you can build a UFC card on just, you know, welterweight fights.
Exactly. I think them middleweight's on the rise now, especially with what Strickland did. And Israel as a Adesanya champion. But I'd say lightweight and welterweight are the two most competitive divisions right now.
Yeah.
Because you got a lot of talent in the lightweight division. But
and bantamweight, I think.
Bantamweight's doing good because you got Sean O'Malley on the rise and stuff. But our next fight. This wasn't much of a fight at all. It was taken down in 1 minute. You went upstairs for a poop job.
Yeah.
And you came down while she was getting knocked out. Cheyenne Baez, oh, my God. She beat the shit out of Gloria DePaula. It was nuts. It was Sharon's fight of the night. I know that. I was watching it with my aunt. She was going nuts. It was a good – she beat the hell out of her. I think Cheyenne Baez has a hell of a future in the strawweight division.
Now, and she's young, too, isn't she?
Yeah. She's a young girl. Let me see how old she is.
It was over before you could say, wow.
I don't fucking know, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, and obviously, you know, and I'm not going to obviously not make fun of anybody's age, but, like, being young in UFC, obviously you're going to have a hell of a future because you can have and I think Cheyenne Baez does have a hell of a future.
She does. And that's another division that has a hell of a talent pool. You got Thug Rose Namajunas at number one. She's the world champion. Welly Zhang, we've seen her fight.
Right. Yeah, she was on that card with McGregor.
Yes. Tisha Torres,
she's coming up soon.
And is Misha Tate in this division, or is she bantamweight?
She's bantamweight.
Okay.
But, yeah, we got some badass women in this division for the straw weights. So we'll see what Cheyenne Baez can continue to do. Hell of a dominant
performance. Isn't Joanna, what's her name? Joanna Jacob? I forgot her name. I can't pronounce her name. She's in the division, I forgot. Yeah,
she is.
One more champion.
I mean, Cheyenne Baez
is my favorite.
But I think that's going to change.
And that's a, I mean, she's got a 5-2 record.
Yeah. But she's whooping ass, and she's staking her claim. So.
Yeah, and she did it within a minute last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's a dope woman.
Yeah.
Our main event, Uriah Hall and Sean Strickland. We were going into this very biased. We wanted that douchebag to get beat up. Not the way it went. Sean Strickland controlled that fight. He impressed me last night. And even him talking after about how if he wasn't fighting, he'd probably be cooking meth in a shed somewhere. He won me over last night. I thought that he could be a bit of a pussy by seeing the viral videos and the, you know, the stuff that I've been hearing and the stuff that, you know, people have been talking about and how he's a bit of a loose cannon. But he really showed that he can control a fight last night. And Uriah Hall, he kind of got bullied by him.
Yeah. Well, and I think Uriah Hall was actually expecting Strickland to – I think he was expecting Strickland to kick him and break his leg. You know, like that other guy did?
Like Weidman?
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure that's what Uriah Hall was expecting. He was expecting, you know, Strickland to go for a kick, it be blocked, and then, you know, Strickland's leg gets snapped in half. By the way, that didn't happen.
It was his birthday, too. Uriah Hall. Poor guy. He lost on his birthday. At least he didn't get knocked out.
Yeah, but I think, because Strickland wanted to go to war, and Uriah Hall said, no, I'm going to wait and snipe out. And I think that's what he wanted to do, but the war was too much.
Yeah.
And he was going too forward. He was getting pushed against the cage. Strickland was wrestling when he needed to. That all five rounds have to go to Sean Strickland.
Right.
He won that fight. He was the better fighter that night. He walked in the cage and he wanted it more. He took the W.
It's amazing. Like, I feel like, yes, you know, people, you know, there's a lot of these fighters that are douchebags.
Yeah.
However, if you can back it up, this isn't like professional wrestling where, you know, you're booked to win.
Yeah. You got to earn it here.
You have to earn it. And if you can back up the trash talk, and you can back up being a bully, then fuck it. I'm serious, though.
No, I agree.
Exactly. You're absolutely 100% right.
Yeah. So, like, if these guys can, if these guys, even though, like, they're pieces of shit, you know, if they back it up, like, if you don't want them to be a piece of shit anymore, knock them the fuck out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of that simple, isn't it?
I mean, it's really all you got to do.
Yeah.
I mean, Sean Strickland was number 11 last night in the rankings. Uriah Hall was number 8. I'm sure that's going to change now.
Yeah.
And he is just an absolute, you know, he went in with violence on his mind, and that's what he got. He almost rocked him a couple times, but he kind of wrestled and pussyfooted a little bit. He deserved that win, and that's what he got. And Israel Adesanya, who's known as one of the greatest fighters in the UFC right now, probably the biggest star, he's got a lot of people coming to him as well.
Right. Robert Whittaker, yep. I know that name.
Robert Whittaker's huge right now. Paulo Costa's a big deal. Darren Till.
Well, Costa, isn't he fighting?
No, Costa, different Costa that fought on the other card.
No, there's a Costa that's fighting next week, right?
Paulo Costa? Is he fighting next week? I don't know.
Or it might be a female Costa fight.
Okay. But whatever. So, middleweight's another one that's cooking up. And we're going to move on, though. I'd give that card a 7 last night.
I'd give it a 7.5. And it's amazing. 6 months ago, you'd probably even go back to, like, maybe, you know, 3 months ago, something like that or whatever, you know. About 3, 4, or 5 months ago, I didn't like UFC.
Yeah.
I think Dana White's – well, actually, no. I started getting into it when we started doing the UFC retrospective. So that was about, like, what, 3, 4 months ago?
Yeah.
So we started doing that. I started becoming a fan. Now I'm a fan of UFC. I think UFC is 100% better than WWE.
Yes. Holy shit.
And I never thought I would say that. I mean, yes, I still like watching the older wrestling because I enjoy that better than anything.
Yeah.
But UFC is really good. And it's like Eric and I were having a conversation yesterday, and he said to me, he goes, who the hell would have ever thought that, like, I'd be talking to you about a UFC card, and this is – and you would not be telling me to go fuck myself. And then he's like, I've converted you to UFC. I've converted you to Big Brother. He goes, now I got to convert you to baseball. To which then I said, well, go fuck yourself.
And with that being said, let's do a Big Brother recap.
Big Brother 23 is cooking up.
Brent just went home. Doug thought it wouldn't happen. Wrong again, bud. Christian won HOH. What do we got, guys?
Okay, so do not go too far down on that Wikipedia page because more than likely they do have the results.
I saw it on accident.
Oh, shit.
I don't know anything. I haven't had a chance to watch Fiend, so I'm going to try to watch it tomorrow.
I'm trying to stay away from the spoilers.
I can't even match the girl to the name I saw, so it's okay. But now you know a girl wins the wild card.
I think I know who it is.
Well, I'm trying to think because it's all girls. Well, it's all girls that still have to play in the wild card. Like the only guy eligible to play for the wild card this week was the big boy.
Big D, right?
Yeah, because
Big Dizzle.
Yeah, because Xavier can't play in the wild card because he's the HOH is on his team.
That team is dominating right now.
Yeah, Derek X already played in the wild card. Kylan already played in one. So it's just
Tiffany did.
Like, so. A lot of the girls still have to play. So, yeah, like, you know, it is what it is. But I really think right now the girls, I think, are running. Although that's usually what happens. But first, usually, like in previous seasons, don't they usually get rid of the girls first?
Usually. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Or like,
the funny thing is, the guys are getting rid of the guys.
There's some seasons where guys go hard too home.
Yeah, they go hard too home, but then all the girls end up in the jury.
Yeah.
And poor, you know, I go back to season 15 where Judd was swimming in the estrogen ocean. Poor bastard.
I made my own deal.
Party Darty, G-U-W-B. Yeah, the season's cooking up. I'm really enjoying it. Derek X is winning this whole damn thing. I've said it from the beginning. Derek F is my favorite, but Derek X will win Big Brother 23.
I'm sticking to Claire. I think she's just sticking in the background right now.
Oh, she's sticking
gathering all the information.
And there's really nothing against her, but like she is like the worst team captain, like in the bunch.
Yeah,
because Claire.
Oh, yeah. You don't see much of her.
The tall girl. Because, like, if you really think about it, the captain of the Queens should be Tiffany.
Yeah, she's very outspoken.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say how I feel about her. Mainly because Sharon could take her hand off the video controller and put it upside the back of my head. But, like.
Turn your ass.
No.
Nah. Well, I'm sitting down, so it might be a little hard. But, no, I mean...
The controller will go up there.
You really want to ruin his controller?
No.
Okay.
Then I'd have to get another one because I broke it.
But anyway, like, so... But, yeah, like, Claire and, you know, maybe Claire will come in because sometimes people do start out slow and then they come on strong. So, I mean, my pick to win the thing, I think some of the stronger players right now, obviously Derek X is the strongest because he's a competition beast. I think the most manipulative player right now is that Tiffany.
Tiffany, I think Christian's going to be a comp beast, but him and Alyssa are huge targets because they're showmancing. I like Kylan.
Yeah, the only thing that's saving him right now from going up on the block this week is he's HOH.
Kylan and Xavier are very charming. Xavier was killing me with Derek.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be in the cookout.
I think Xavier is going to be a comp beast, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
is Derek F. like, yeah. Because, all right. So and for Xavier anybody that's
smart,
Xavier's a lawyer. And he's trying to keep it. What did he tell people he was a model and something else?
Bartender and a model.
All right. Bartender and a model.
Yeah.
And so, like, Derek F. kept saying, you know, I bet you Xavier could be a lawyer. And he kept on it, and it's just Xavier, I think, wanted to hit him.
He's like, you keep grilling my ass. You're supposed to be in the cookout grilling other people. Yeah, he's funny.
I mean, I do think.
What do you guys think of Hannah?
Huh?
What do you guys think of Hannah?
She's very under the radar right now, too, but she's also very smart.
That's Derek X's lady friend, right?
Yeah, she is very smart.
Apparently, she's like a fan favorite right now because people like how low-key she
is. I love her.
Yeah,
that's Claire. She's my...
Go ahead, Eric. You think she's hot?
No, I was going to say, besides Claire, she's my other favorite because I think she's very smart, too, and she's also another one that's gathering information, just soaking it in.
Yeah,
which is a smart player then. Gather information.
Derek X, like Alyssa and Christian, obviously right now they're a power couple,
yeah.
Kind of. Derek X and Hannah are like very low-key undercover power couple.
Yeah, they could take that the whole
exactly.
day. It's a little bit stupid.
But those two aren't stupid. I like the way both of them are playing. I think both of them are going to go very far.
Well, because Hannah, again, college degree and all that. She's very smart. She wants to lay low. And that's going to make her very dangerous.
But Derek's also stuck in a weird position right now.
Right, because he wants to be – I don't know if he necessarily wants to – he wants to be loyal to his team.
Yeah.
Or at least loyal to Hannah. But he's also – the Royal Flush is ace in the hole.
Yeah.
And you're running out of targets, though. Like, that whole, like, Royal Flush alliance, like, Whitney and Brittany – are, like, the only two people in that Royal Flush alliance that, like, they can target. I mean, Azza and Derek After are not part of the Royal Flush, but Kylan and Xavier are not going to target them.
Yeah.
All right? And they don't want to target Hannah either because Hannah is, like, the unofficial member of the cookout. I mean, it's going to get to a point, though, where there is going to be some – within the next, like, week or two, maybe 3 weeks, there's going to be some backstabbing.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, people, when they come in for a hug, you know, Jerry Lawler used to say all the time, you know, you go in for a hug, you're actually just looking for a place to stick the knife in.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Isn't this the last week of the team?
What
is the last week of the wild card? I think this is the last week of the wild card
because not too many people are still eligible because you can only play in the wild card once.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. But not the team.
The team, I think, is also going to get cut next week, aren't they?
Yeah. Either next week or the week after, something like that.
I mean, I still think that, like, they're going to let the whole team concept go until it's time to go to jury. And I'm still going to stick with my prediction. The entire Kings team is going to make it through this first round of this first set of evictions. None of them are going home. They're either going to go to jury or they're going to go to the end of the game.
True.
Yeah, but they keep winning. Yeah.
We'll see what happens, boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I think we're going to head home here.
We'll do the comic spotlight next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a nice one. it's a nice second show. It's cool to talk about our other stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll see everybody next week.
Beautiful. And we'll actually all be in the same room while recording this, by the way.
Sweet.
Yeah. First time in a year and a half.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The band back together. All right, guys.
Yep.
Later.
Later.